stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up right now.
Hi everybody, this is Ben Starr with you with The Positive Mind, and a very happy 2016 to you all, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Here we are in our first program of the new year. Julian Joiello is away, and I'm joined in the studio for today by DeMille Center associate and longtime colleague and friend of Armand DeMille, Kevin O'Donohue. Kevin, thanks for being here.
You bet, Ben. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you. And today we're going to be talking about new beginnings, fresh start. Here it is. It's the very beginning of a new year, and we all have the feeling of a clean slate. And it's a very exciting thing. And for many of us, we, around this time of year, traditionally, like to do something called making resolutions. And that's what we will be discussing today, resolutions. Now, if you had to guess, what would you imagine the top resolutions by Americans would be in general, year to year? Because one of the most popular ones is to lose weight. That's a big one. Another big one is spending more time with family. And I have a list here. There was some research done. Actually, the University of Scranton has a Journal of Clinical Psychology, and they did some research. They studied people's New Year's resolutions, and they studied what people's wished for at a new year and hope to accomplish and achieve. And so I'm going to share with you some of that research here, because it's very illuminating stuff, and it's really a window into how people think about themselves and how they relate to the world. So as we said, lose weight is one of the biggest New Year's resolutions, as well as spending more time with family. Now, others on the list include getting organized. It's a pretty big one. Mm. Spending less and saving more. So a financial resolution. Enjoying life to the fullest. Now, there's an interesting resolution, but it has a problem that many of these resolutions share, which we'll get into in a moment. Others on the list include staying fit and healthy, learning something exciting, quitting smoking. Now, there's a big one. Helping others in their dreams, and falling in love. Now, those are all very noble and important things. And look, we all want to be better people. We all strive to be better than we are, right? We all want to be healthier. We all want to feel better. We all want to be more satisfied in our relationships and in our interactions with family and friends. But when I look at this list, there's a common problem that I see with all of these resolutions, and it may explain why less than 10% of people who make resolutions end up fulfilling those resolutions. However, a resolution could very well be a revolution in your life and lifestyle. And the problem that I see with a lot of these is simply that they're too broad. They're too general. They're too vague, right? The resolution to lose weight, while it's, you know, it's very well intended, and it stems, I think, from a desire to be healthier, maybe also a desire and pressure from societal norms to conform to an ideal. But, you know, at its core, it is, I think, about feeling better and being healthier. And while it's a good resolution for those who are struggling with that, it's far too vague. Right. Same with spend less and save more. Saving money. You know, we all want to be financially independent. We all want to get our finances in order and have a better outlook on our life. And the problem with that is, if my goal is to save money, I mean, that's so vague that let's say I put a penny in a jar every day for the rest of the year. Well, at the end of the year, I've saved $3.65. I've achieved my goal of saving money. But at the end of the day, what am I going to do with $3.65? It's good for one Subway ride with about $1.10 left over.
So it's almost like I wonder what the goal is behind the goal. Like, if you have a goal to save money, great. But $3.65 is not really what the goal is.
Sure. And when I look at this list, Kevin, what I see is I see a bunch of aspirations and goals and dreams that are very noble and that are very well-intentioned, but that, you know, like further down in the statistics, and I didn't share this with everyone yet, but I briefly mentioned less than 10% of people end up fulfilling their resolution that they made at the beginning of the year. And, you know, we can look at the reasons for that. Part of that may be discipline, maybe determination, maybe willpower. But it's also, look, the only one on this list that I see that's quantifiable and concrete is quit smoking.
And that's the one you picked.
That is the one I picked, Kevin. You know, I have resolved to quit smoking, and it's one of the most challenging things I've ever done.
Right.
But it's something that I know I need to do.
Where are you at right now? Today's January 5th.
Today's January 5th, and you know, before the new year, I was a pretty heavy smoker, and at this point, I've had 3 cigarettes since midnight. Since the ball dropped.
Wow.
So I'm not perfect, and you know, I'm making progress, not perfection, but I'm pleased with what I've been able to do. And the interesting thing is now when I walk down the street and I smell someone smoking, it smells disgusting to me.
Already?
Already.
Five
it's strange.
Days.
Yeah, it's strange. But so we're looking at these statistics and this research from the University of Scranton that looks into people making New Year's resolutions, and we see that roughly half of Americans make a resolution every single year. And by and large, those resolutions are related to self-improvement or education, weight, money, or relationships. And that's typically what those resolutions are about. And another interesting indicator here, Kevin, is that people in their 20s 39% of people in their 20s achieve their resolution.
Meaning they stick with it for the full year.
Yeah, 2 in 5.
Between 2 and 5 years? Or?
Well, 2 out of 5.
Oh, 2 out of 5.
Yeah, 2 out of 5 people in their 20s have achieved that. People over 50, 14%. 14%.
Yeah,
right. And overall, and I guess this is skewed by the people in the 30 to 50 demographic, overall, only about 10% of people will follow through with those resolutions.
I can relate. I have never kept a resolution. I mean, the furthest I've gotten was to mid-February.
And you know something, Kevin? There's no shame in that. And we see in these numbers that about 75% of people manage to maintain their resolution through week one. So if you're out there right now, we're still in week one of 2016. If you're out there and you've been managed to maintain, well, you're part of the 3 and 4. And hey, if you've already broken your resolution, don't feel bad because 25% of people around you probably have too.
I'm shocked that it's that small. You know, 25%. I would think it's 50, but okay.
Well, after 6 months, Kevin, only 46% of people are still sticking with that resolution.
Great. Okay. Well, there's a lot of willpower out there.
So we're talking about New Year's resolutions and making a revolution in your life. And you're listening to The Positive Mind. It's 99.5 FM on your dial, WBAI, here in New York City. I'm Ben Starr. Julian Joiello's away. In the studio with me is Kevin O'Donohue, a longtime friend, colleague, associate, and partner of Armand DeMille. And it's a new year, and we wanted to discuss this. And in a little while, we'll be opening up the phone lines. And I want to hear about, you know, your experience with resolutions, if you have a resolution for this year, and how you feel you can become more successful in achieving that by being more specific about it. So to me, the lose weight one, which is right at the top of the list of, you know, the most common resolution, it's well-intentioned, but without specific and clear objectives, a goal becomes just an abstraction.
Yeah.
Goals are beautiful.
Right.
But I think objectives, which are kind of the breaking down of a goal into steps, into units, into easier to process, right? It's like that saying, don't bite off more than you can chew.
Right.
You can't just eat a meal. You have to eat your vegetables and then eat your rice and eat your meat. You can't do it all at once. It has to be broken down into steps, into objectives. So when I see the lose weight resolution, well, I think a much more feasible and realistic goal would be to say, I'm not going to drink soda anymore because soda's a killer. Or I'm going to go to the gym or do some kind of physical exercise for 45 minutes a day or an hour a day. Now, that is a measurable, quantifiable, achievable goal. Whereas lose weight, I mean, lose how much weight? You know, lose a pound?
Yeah.
And how? So I think that applies to many of these on the list that we read. For instance, one of the biggest ones on the list we saw is fall in love. And that's beautiful. You know, I'm all for falling in love, and I'm all for, you know, having an open heart and being open to new people. But how can we, I mean, how is it possible to plan that? You know, a better goal would be to be more active and meet people and be social.
Right.
To get out there.
Yeah. So I wonder if there's a strategy. I mean, it seems like if you have a goal, you shouldn't shoot big. If you shoot like too broad, I want to save 10,000 for this year.
Right.
And now you're quitting smoking. So if you were to advise a person who wants to quit smoking, would you say, like, shoot small, just get through the first week, just get through the first day, just get through, you know, because you've said you've had 3 cigarettes since.
Sure.
I think that's a success right there.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, I'd much rather be able to say that I haven't had a cigarette. But,
sure,
you know, as it stands, I am doing much better than I was this time last week and this time last year. And I think progress is the most important thing. And like we said, breaking these goals down into more achievable units. So the goal of spend more time with my family, that's a beautiful thing. And there's nothing as quite as special and quite as important as that time with your family. It's so important. That time with parents and that time that, you know, parents playing with their children and children playing with each other, it's such an important thing. And yet when we put a label on it, like, I want to spend more time with my family.
Too broad.
Too broad.
Too broad.
Too
how
broad.
About more time with mom? More
right.
Time, more how time about, with Jim?
How
more.
About I want to do every Sunday night, I want to make it a point that we're going to sit together at the table and enjoy each other's company and talk to each other. And no matter what, no matter how hard things are, we're going to find the time. We're going to make the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Or I am.
Or I am.
It's my goal. You know, your family might not be on board. You want to spend more time with them, but they might fight you on that.
And, you know, just now, Kevin, you mentioned the idea of I want to save money. So to say I want to save this amount of money this year, I mean, that's really hard.
Yeah.
How about I'm going to save this much money out of every paycheck? That's more realistic. That's more achievable.
Right.
You can see. And it's the building blocks, you know?
Yeah. So you're sort of saying, make goals that you can see the results of quickly.
Right.
So are you seeing some results from your quitting smoking already?
Well, I am. I mean, already I feel, you know, I feel like I don't wake up in the morning coughing.
Really?
I feel like I'm able to breathe deeper. I mean, and this goal could just be psychological and mental. Who knows? But I feel physically better.
Mm.
And I feel mentally and emotionally stronger. Right, I get this sort of endorphin dopamine thing happening because I'm happy with the actions I've taken.
Nice. That's an additional or secondary gain.
Sure.
Aside from the physical primary benefit, I would imagine.
Right. And so there's another one on here that I wanted to touch on because I think this is one, and this is something that we've discussed on the show before, getting organized.
Organized.
Got to get organized, right?
Right. Well, that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And I'm sure many of us out there, you have a desk or a closet or a room or an entire apartment or house that's in disarray and that's disorganized. And it's very hard to tackle that as one entire task.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a much easier way to go about it would be, today, I'm going to organize the top drawer in this desk. And I'm going to organize it meticulously. And tomorrow I'll do the bottom drawer. And the day after, I'll organize the surface of the desk itself.
Right.
And then I'll do the clothing drawers. And if you think about it, one of these every day is much easier than sitting there. It's like you're looking up at this mountain, and the mountain looks massive.
Right. Right.
And you say to yourself, there's no way that I can climb this mountain.
Yeah.
It's just not possible.
And I think that's how I failed all my resolutions. You know, you get this inspiration come December 25th, 6th, 7th, 8th. You know, you feel it in your belly. Oh, I really want to stop doing that. You know, I really want to achieve that. And it becomes this big fantasy thing, December 28th. But then come January 2nd and 3rd, it's like, whoa, I don't know. This is going to be really, really tough. I really should get specific and break it down. Maybe I can modify. All right, I won't lose weight, but I'll stop eating desserts.
Yeah. And as always, right, when we choose a topic for discussion on the Positive Mind, what I like to do is I like to do some research. I like to read about what some established and well-known credible sources have to say on the subject. And then I like to listen to what Armand has had to say in the past about the subject.
Yeah.
And today we have both of those for you. I checked out the American Psychological Association's website. And they have a whole page on New Year's resolutions. And the very first thing they said, Kevin, is to start small.
Oh, they did.
Really? They did. They said, make resolutions that you think you can keep.
Right.
For example, if your aim is to exercise more frequently, schedule 3 or 4 days a week at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of 7.
Yeah.
Right? Start small. You know, if you want to eat healthier, then go ahead and start by replacing dessert with something else like fruit or yogurt. Right. Mm-hmm. Instead of mm-hmm. looking at the diet as a punishment, think of it as a chance to do something different,
yeah.
to do something new. Yeah. And they also say, change one behavior at a time.
Right.
Right. Right. I mean, unhealthy behaviors.
You can't change 5 at a time.
Yeah.
Target one behavior.
Exactly.
It's a place to start. I remember when I wanted to lose weight, I was down on myself and Armand heard it in my voice. He says, you know, the way to do it is not to starve yourself. You have to find some way to have fun doing it. Because if you don't have fun, you're gonna sabotage it, whether you know it or not.
And my heart goes out to the person who's out there and they have, you know, this great intention of self-improvement and taking better care of themselves. And they've chosen half of the resolutions that we've seen on this list. You know, the person who's out there saying, I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to get organized. I'm going to spend more time with my family and I'm going to lose weight.
Right.
Because that person is setting themselves up to be overwhelmed and end up beating themselves up because they set out to really do something so large and such a daunting task that in the end, you know, it becomes very easy to just give up on all of it.
Right. And you're not in your right head after a while. If you're trying to accomplish too many things at once, you sort of become another alien being. And you eventually say, hey, I want to get back to my old self again.
That's right.
And you drop everything.
And that's the thing, right, is don't beat yourself up when you make a misstep.
Yeah. So you've had 3. You're not beating yourself up.
No. I mean, and at the end of the day, look, perfection is unattainable. Right? I mean, minor missteps, it's okay. It doesn't mean you have to give up completely. You know, you went on a diet and you had a cookie or a brownie, or, you know, you didn't work out that day. It doesn't mean that, you know, you don't have to work out for the rest of the week or for the rest of the month, or that you should eat the whole box of cookies.
Right.
It's just a bump in the road, friends.
Gosh. I wonder what show Armand would do, how to make friends with yourself after you've, like, failed at a goal.
And at its core, Kevin, that's what it's about. It's about being kind to ourselves.
Yeah.
It's about taking care of ourselves, and it's about self-love.
Yeah. So it gets back to my idea, like, what's the goal behind the goal? Like, what are you trying to get to? Who are you trying to get closer to in yourself? What in yourself are you trying to get close to? And are you doing it to like Armand, to get more love? Are you quitting smoking, Ben, in order to be more lovable?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's a question.
You know, for me, it's this kind of holistic thing that there's a million and one reasons why I should.
Yeah.
Right? Starting with the health reasons.
Right.
And also the fact that, hey, you know, if I'm doing something that is endangering my health, it's even doubly insane for me to do if I have to pay to do it. Right?
Right.
I have to pay every day for the privilege of, you know, of making myself sick. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And I see that behavior in myself, and I can't continue it. I can't justify continuing that.
Yeah. You just gave me my resolution. You know, I'm not going to watch TV at night when I go home. All right, I'll try that for this full week.
That's a good resolution, but hey,
I swore I was going to make a resolution.
No TV at all. That's a big one. How about
no, just at nighttime.
Yeah,
but maybe you're right. Okay,
how about TV on the weekends only?
Yeah,
right. Because
okay,
TV,
you're helping me here. This is great.
TV is the sort of thing where you know we get home and you know we work hard. We get home. We want to relax. We want to kick our feet up. We get on the couch and we put on the TV, and before you know it, it's 11 o'clock. It's midnight.
You're helping me. This is great. You're absolutely right. I just did it. I just did it to myself. I just said, no more. When I get home, I won't watch TV. Yet, you know, this has been like a huge source of comfort for me over the last couple of years.
Probably over your whole life, Kevin.
Yeah. And here I'm ready to chop it off.
Did you watch TV as a kid?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. What were your favorite shows?
Oh, The Brady Bunch.
Okay.
You know, or I love the Beverly Hillbillies. My favorite was Gigantor. You know, I don't know. A lot of people don't know who that was.
I never heard of it.
Oh, man. It was like one of the best cartoon shows. A guy, a little kid.
An action hero?
Box. Yeah, he was an action hero. And if anybody has a Gigantor box out there or a Gigantor figure, you know, I'll pay money for that. But, you know, but yeah, there I am. I'm ready to sort of chop my feet off. And you're right. It's not nourishing.
Yeah. Well, so, the point is that we start every year with this feeling of a clean slate, you know, this starting over feeling.
Right.
This time where we have that we can set intentions and make changes in our lives for the better and get rid of bad habits and maybe replace them with good ones. And the thing is, for so many people, by February, by March, a lot of those have gone out the window, right? Abandoned, yeah. Forgotten, right. Given up on. And, you know, I wonder, why is it such a struggle, you know? Why is that a struggle? And the thing is, many of these resolutions are dealing with habits.
Yeah.
And habits are deeply ingrained and take a long time to form and to break. Right?
Oh, gosh. You would know this. A cigarette is like the number one habit out there.
Right.
I think it's getting less, though. You know, you still see people out in front of these buildings huddled in the cold smoking their cigarettes. So they still have their habits. But I think people are smoking less. I don't know. But it's definitely a habit.
I think so, too, for the most part. We're gonna share with you a little piece of Armand discussing the spend more time with family resolution.
I just have to tell you my favorite TV show as a kid.
Okay.
Because it just came to me.
Okay.
Love American Style.
Love American Style?
Yeah.
I never heard of it.
Love American Style, ringing in the world, red, white, and blue. Anyway, any of you know that and want to call in later, give us a call.
All right, so here is a short piece of Armand DeMille discussing New Year's and the impulse to spend more time with your family. Here it is, folks. Have a listen. Happy New Year. Oh, and by the way, in the second part of the program, we're going to be taking your calls. Stay tuned.
So at the end of the year, there's always this thing about resolutions, and people make resolutions. What are they going to do? What do you think is the single most resolution that people make? What do you think? If more people made more resolutions, what do you think the resolution is? It is simply this one. I promise to spend more time with family and friends. That's what people say. Number one resolution. Now, why would people choose that? They do because they feel something is lacking. At this time of year, towards the end of the year, a kind of depression looms. And one of the things about depression is you don't feel like you have a family. You feel alone. Depression is a sense of aloneness. You might even have a physical family, but, you know, you don't have a family. You feel like there is nobody there. So So around this time of year, this is kind of short light cycle moodiness that tends to come over. And what people say to themselves, well, I do have more control over this. If I had more friends, or if I had more family, or if I spent more time, because it's all up to me, I could make it happen. What is it that separates us? Well, from family, as you grow up, you can see a lot of things, a lot of reasons why you don't want to spend time with your family. Families could be horrible. They could be nasty, judgmental, critical. And you could eventually say to yourself, you know, this is not a good time. There are certain families that I've seen which are very good together, connected, play music together, do things. But a lot of people say, I don't want to be around my family. My family is miserable. My independence, my growing, my new year would be to be less dependent on my family and more dependent on myself. So that's some of the things that people hope for. But then what about the friends? Why don't you spend more time with your friends? Well, there we run into a bunch of things. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Facebook edition of The Positive Mind. Where your friends and your family kind of compose your tribe. You know, if everybody had a tribe, it's your friends and family. But let's say that you have very little family and you had a lot of friends and that was your tribe. These are your friends. These are the people you depend on. What's wrong with that? It's a lot of things that go wrong. First of all, the friends that you had back then, 5 years ago, were when you had a certain level of consciousness. And a certain level of consciousness meant that your mind was in one particular place. Let's go out drinking. Let's go out going around the bars. Let's go out dancing. And you may have changed. And the very friends that you used to do bopping around with may no longer be, you might not be interested in doing the same thing. So you could change. Now, we all know that we do change as we get older. So it would be kind of amazing that the very same friends you had back then would be the friends you have now. Because people grow in different directions. Another difficulty quite often happens since most couples, 50% of the couples, split up. Are they friends who were friends of yours or your mates? And mates choose between friends. I mean, friends choose between mates. You know, I'm his friend, I'm her friend. You very rarely do you find somebody who's a friend to both people. Because that always, like we said yesterday in the program, becomes triangulation. So things happen, and divorce friends are difficult. They remind you of you as a couple. They're usually a couple. That's the other thing about friends. If you're alone and your friends are all united, you know, they're all part of a couple, sometimes it feels bad to be with them. Age makes a difference. As you get older, you may not want to be doing the same playful things. Illness makes a difference. Everybody gets their bones begin to creak as you get older. And sometimes the effort that it takes to be with friends becomes more difficult, takes more time. Priorities change as well. Your priorities of your friends over your family, you have grandchildren and things like that. And you kind of are choosing, well, let me go where it's safe. But we know, every one of us, that we want to maintain some kind of friendships. We want to be connected. If you're not connected to anybody else other than your family, you're in trouble. This world needs connections. Especially with people like you, the audience here, people who are sensitive and kind. Well, one of the reasons that we may not want to see our friends is because of how we look. What if you became a little creaky or wrinkly or overweight or underweight? Maybe it's appearances. Maybe you don't want people to look at you and talk about you. Sometimes you think that's maybe what happens. The level of friendships are always important because if I were to define what a friendship is, it could be an acquaintance, or it could be it could be somebody who's a real buddy who you would tell anything to. Like somebody you would discuss your most intimate secrets with. That's a real close friendship. I have a friend in Germany, one of my closest friends, and we barely ever talk. We don't talk about things. And I swear next year I'm going to talk to him more often. That's the kind of feeling it is. I miss him. That's Dieter. Hey, where is Dieter? Now, there's other things that happen, like success or failure. If you have a major success in your life, hey, what are you doing nowadays? What's your story? Oh, I'm selling cars in a used car lot over in Hoboken. Oh, how'd you get into that? You know, it's almost embarrassing. It's like going to reunions. You know, unless you're successful, you feel a little bit of embarrassment about your where you are. Or if you are successful, sometimes people resent you. What stops you from being more in touch with your family, with your friends? What stops you from reaching out? Did you ever get the feeling that you're the only one doing the reaching and that they're not doing anything? You're the only one. You know, that you're the only one who is doing any work in the relationship. Usually that's a perception that you need something that you don't have. There are many reflections on fun that friends...
And that was Armand DeMille talking about the difference between friends and family and the resolution to spend more time with family and friends. And we're going to be taking your calls. We're going to take a short musical break here. And the number to call is 212-757-5555. We'll be taking your calls about New Year's resolutions, about spending more time with friends and family, maybe quitting smoking, maybe losing weight. And I want to know how you plan on breaking those big goals down into actionable objectives. Because at the end of the day, that's the most effective way to achieve those. So once again, 212-757-5555. That's the number to call here. And we're going to play a little bit of music, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned and give us a call, 212-757-5555. You've been listening to the tenor sax of Warren Marsh here on 99.5 FM WBAI New York on your dial. This is The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr, joined in the studio today by Kevin O'Donohue, and we're talking about New Year's resolutions, starting over.
That was a New Year's tune.
Yeah, clean slate.
Really nice.
And we have a caller on the line. We have Stacy on the line. Thanks for calling in, Stacy.
Hi there. Hi, everyone.
Hey, hi, Stacey. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. My New Year resolution is to stay healthy. Last year, I was diagnosed with some Graves' disease, which is an autoimmune disease that affects my heart, my nervous system. And so with that news, I decided that this year is all about taking care of myself.
That sounds like a great plan.
Yes.
Now, have you thought about how you could break that down into specific actions?
Well, yes. Last year, I was working so much, I didn't have enough time for myself. And so this year, I decided to probably, most likely, this is what I would like to do, is cut down my hours, because my health is first, and this is an autoimmune disease, so I need to do this, eat healthier, and meditate, go to yoga class,
How does stress
be around positive people?
Sorry, Stacey, I was going to ask you, how does stress figure into this for you?
Yes, stress is a big part. I'm constantly on the road because I'm a sales rep. So I'm driving as I'm doing right now.
Wow, you're multitasking.
Yes, I'm multitasking.
Okay.
I'm driving, and I come home really late at night. I don't get enough sleep. Graves' disease also affects your sleeping patterns, so okay. I have fatigue and insomnia, and I'm just, you know.
So stress is a big thing in your life, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
And breathing, you know, like when you're driving in your car, I mean, I can hear you're almost out of breath as you're talking to us. So Where do you practice your breath, your meditations?
In my car.
Right.
In my car, yes, because I don't have time when I'm home. I just want to just, like, rest and make something for myself to eat, and that's it. That's all I have time for, is to take a shower and eat something and then get some rest.
Well, Stacy, you know, you mentioned sleep, and I have an idea for you, and this may be tough, and I know it's certainly been tough for me, but what about setting a bedtime, you know, setting a strict bedtime and sticking to it? I mean, that's a very specific but achievable goal.
Yes, that's actually a great idea. I was thinking about that. I usually go to bed pretty late because I come home late, and I think that's the next step, is to set a bedtime. So that way I can just be at bed at 10 a.m., even if I don't fall asleep, but I'm just in bed, you know?
Yeah, well, I want to just wish you success and good health and, you know, success
in
achieving all those things. And I feel like you completely could do it, you know? I believe you can. So good luck to you, and thank you for the call.
Thank you. And one more thing. I also feel like I face the fear right now because I'm usually scared to, like, call you guys and say something.
Good for you.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a
thanks
success.
Thanks again, guys.
Yeah,
and
well,
I love
listen.
Your show.
Yeah, we love you too, and we love hearing from you. So thanks, and call us another time.
Be well.
I most certainly will. Be blessed.
All right. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye-bye.
212-757-5555. That's the number to call.
Even there, like, she left out the big one, like stress.
That's right, yeah.
She left it out. Here it was. Our life is probably being run on stress. She's in sales, and she gets to bed late at irregular hours. You never know when she's going to turn the phone off, turn the TV off, and just relax. The only place she gets to breathe is in the car. So I thought that piece was missing. I could hear it, like, wow, this girl is lovely voice, but she's out of breath. So she must be under stress. And I'm glad we highlighted that.
Absolutely. So, let's take another call. We have Mary Jo on the line. Mary Jo, thanks for calling in.
Hi, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's good to hear from you again. I know we heard from you a few times in 2015, right?
Yes.
How's everything?
Everything is okay. My New Year's resolution, like Armand said, is one of those, at least. The most important one is spending more time with family, but it's extended family. I don't know about you, but growing up, we always used to have Sunday dinners and have the cousins over with the grandparents, and that's lost. And my kids are always saying, you know, I wish we could spend more time with our cousins. And so at Christmas, when we all got together for Christmas Eve, I called a family meeting, and we plan to get together at least one day every other month for, you know, like a family dinner and maybe play some football or something, because that's what we do when, you know, on the holidays when we get together.
That sounds wonderful. And one thing that we know about you, Mary Jo, is that you are definitely someone who knows about making goals and sticking to them and achieving objectives. So I'm pretty sure that you'll be able to do that this year.
I have a question, Mary Jo. Is there anyone, because it sounds like you have a lot of people. When you say the word family, it sounds, I'm getting a sense that there's a bunch of them. Is there a lot of people in this family?
I have my nieces and nephews are growing. There's not, I only have one brother and one sister, but, you know, our children and now their children, you know, are all basically in their 20s and, you know.
Okay, so they're adults now, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're not little ones. So we have a lot of fun when we get together. And everybody, you know, I was so grateful that everybody was on board. They're like, yeah, that sounds so great. Because before Christmas, when I would talk to my, you know, a couple of my nephews, they were all saying how they're looking forward to getting together and seeing us. And, you know, I said, why don't we do this more often?
Right,
this is crazy.
Right. Right.
So we're going to schedule it for like the second, you know, Saturday or whatever. Right. And this way nobody will make plans other than, you know, having that family time.
And it sounds like, you know, you set a reasonable goal. You didn't say, all right, every other Saturday. You said every other month.
Yeah.
So it gives
at
people
to start.
Space to come around to it. So
yeah,
it sounds like a wise way to go. Okay. Well, I thought, I thought there were a lot of people involved, but it sounds manageable. Okay.
Yes. Well, you have a wonderful year, and I hope you achieve your resolutions.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Happy New Year, and take
care.
Happy New Year.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Kevin knows all about having a big family, don't you?
Kind of. I have 9 brothers, so.
How many sisters?
I have 5 sisters.
5 sisters and 9 brothers.
And I have.
That is a big family.
68 nieces and nephews.
68?
So, yes. So all of my brothers and sisters had 5 kids or 4 kids.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
So we, you know, I know when somebody says the word family, that's such a broad category. For me, you know, if I had a resolution for me to spend more time with family, to me it would almost not mean that much, because coming from a large family, you know, you tend to get lost in the shuffle, and you tend to keep conversations superficial, and you tend not to really get to know each other or to really express anything vulnerable or take any chances. And it's all fun, and it's all okay, it's all good, you know, but you don't really know each other after a while. So I thought I heard that in Mary Jo's voice, but because we members of large families know each other across the room. And yeah, I've been part of a large family my whole life. My parents had 13 kids in a row every year, and then they got a television.
And they took a break.
They took a break, and then they had 2 more.
All right, well, let's see how many calls we can get in. But we have about 15 minutes left. I want to get as many in as possible. We have Nancy on the line. Nancy, thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're very welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Nancy.
I just want to say about smoking. You reminded me. I stopped 15 years ago on New Year's resolution.
Wow.
And I had tried 2 times to stop, and I always had a pitfall. Something triggered me off. Probably my daughter triggered me off. So that third time, I knew where the pitfalls were, and I happened to be in a hospital for 3 days, and I thought to myself, 3 days, I'm not smoking. Maybe I could do it now.
Yeah.
So I went home, and I told everyone, get rid of all my cigarettes, you know, and I knew what triggers me off, and since then, I haven't touched another cigarette. The only time I smoke is when I'm dreaming.
Wow.
That's the only time I smoke.
Do you know what?
Do you smell the smoke while you're dreaming?
No.
Okay. But yeah, you know, Nancy, you make a great point, and that is you talk about the pitfalls, and I think that's
exactly.
Really important in achieving goals is knowing to anticipate and expect adversity, because nothing is easy.
No, it's absolutely not. Yeah,
and that's a great way going in. Like for whatever, like what's your you know, what's the pitfall for you in your resolution? Maybe that's a
sure.
good thing. And who are the triggers for you to not achieve
right.
your goal?
Right, not just what, but who?
Who?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I could be some help to you.
Yeah.
You are.
Well, Nancy, thank you so much for the call.
That's
and
great
and
insight.
Happy New Year and. I appreciate you tuning in and calling in, and we're going to see if we can get a few more calls in before the end of the show.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. That's 212-757-5555. We're talking about New Year's resolutions. We talked about how it's much easier to achieve a goal when you break it down into manageable objectives.
You know, and I meant to say with Mary Jo that because I have a large family, like I want to target one or two people to finally connect to, rather than this idea of connecting to my whole family. If I can target one or two, you know, maybe we can join being adults together in a different way. We don't have to rely on our old habits and patterns that we learned growing up, but we could learn to be, you know, Kevin and Paul. Or Kevin and Christine, or Kevin and Joseph, and get to know each other.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So breaking it down is really important.
Let's take a few more calls. We have Manny on the line calling in. Manny, thanks for calling in.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, Manny. So what's your goal? What's your goal? What's your resolution?
My resolution this year is health. I'm really going to concentrate on my health this year.
Health, and that's a big, broad goal. How are you going to do it in specific terms?
Let me just. I got to shut my.
Okay.
I'm in my truck.
Okay.
Well, I've been researching some stuff, and I've been dabbling, and.
What part of your health don't you like? What's wrong with your health? What do you want to improve about your health? Are you still there? Hello.
Manny?
Huh. Okay. Well, we hope you get healthy and call us back.
Yeah, Manny, give us a call back. It seems like we lost you.
He said he had some research and stuff. But I,
hello.
Oh, there you are.
There you go.
Yeah. So, Manny, I was just asking you, what about you personally? What's wrong with your health? What do you want to improve about it?
Well, I had, health-wise, I wasn't too bad. I was a bit of a smoker, but that's nothing serious. But I just never felt quite as I should, I guess, from some bad habits, a lot of bad eating, being a trucker.
Bad eating, yeah.
Oh, you've been a trucker?
Yes.
Oh, so you sit in the truck,
yeah.
you drive a 16-wheeler.
An 18-wheeler.
An 18-wheeler. So you're one of those guys up there sitting all day driving across America and surviving on coffee and what else?
Yes, exactly.
A lot of snacks and snacky food, junky food, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of comfort food. And that 40-47, it finally caught up to me. I started really feeling terrible.
Okay.
And so,
can you pick one thing, Manny? One thing, just for today, just the one thing that you really want to do.
Okay, well, I came across a few things, but the best thing that I have been doing is sun gazing.
Say that again?
Sun gazing.
Sun gazing?
Yeah, sun gazing. It's I've heard about it.
It is
amazing. It's just amazing.
Tell me about it. What is it?
Well, it's an old practice that the Mayans did, and the Lucas and the Indians,
mm-hmm.
and it's they did it for health reasons and for spiritual reasons. So it depended on how long you want to go with it, but I've been doing it for almost 7 months now, and it just does something to you. Mentally, it is phenomenal.
Wow! And so because I never heard this before. Is it you look up at the sun?
Yeah, you stare directly into the sun. It's a very ancient practice.
Don't you know? Mama always told you never to look into the sun. But
yes, I myself thought it was dangerous too. But I found this information on YouTube, and it turns out that as long as you do it correctly, which is the first hour of sunrise or the last hour of sunset, those are the two safe periods, because the UV is always below 2, and that's the whole key. And the way I was taught to do it was start off at 10 seconds and just keep adding 10 seconds.
Fantastic. Well, listen, yes. You brought up something new for us to end the show on. Because you brought up this idea of having a resolution that's actually enjoyable. You actually feel the benefits and effects of it right away. Is that true? Do you feel it right after you look at the sun? You feel better.
Well, it took me, I would say, after about 5 minutes of doing it, which at 10 seconds at a time, it took me a couple months to get there.
Okay,
I started feeling the effects. And now I'm at 29 minutes and 30 seconds.
Wow.
And I have never felt better in my life.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah,
Manny.
Thanks
this
for the call, Manny.
This is a fantastic way to end our show.
You're welcome.
We're right up against the end of our show, and we could see if we could take one more call. But, Manny, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Happy New Year, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Happy New Year, guys.
All right, let's get one more phone call in really quickly. A quick one, please. 212-757-5555. If you could give us a quick call and tell us if you have a resolution, if you have a specific plan for how to keep that resolution, we're going to take a call right now. Hello, you're on WBAI.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
What's your
I
name?
I want to comment on the resolution thing.
Yeah, what's your name?
Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. Mine is not really a resolution.
Could you turn your radio down for me, Tony?
Oh, sure. Hold on.
Tony, we have about 1 minute. Tony, we have about 1 minute, so go ahead.
Okay. Mine is stop putting off things that I want to do for myself.
Excellent. Mm.
And I'll give you a quick analogy. I had an appointment to see Armand from contributing, and I put it off and put it off and put it off and lost my opportunity.
Well,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, man, we're sorry to hear that. You missed it.
But it taught me a good lesson.
Right.
It's always, tomorrow is a new year. Tomorrow, every day is a new year.
Every day is a new day. Tony, listen, I'm here with Kevin, and Kevin has worked here at the DeMel Center for a long time, and trained and worked with Armand, and if you'd be interested, I'm sure Kevin would be happy
Absolutely.
To come see you.
Sure. Tony, you can call the number at the center, 212-757-4488, and I'll tell you all the stories you want to hear about Armand.
Okay, I will. I'll do that.
Okay, again, 212-757-4488.
4488.
Be well, Tony. Well,
you too, guys.
Thank
you very much.
Yep. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And that's about all the time that we're going to have for today. This is The Positive Mind. You're tuned into 99.5 FM on your dial. I want to thank everyone who called in today. Thank everyone for tuning in. Kevin, thank you for being my co-host today.
Man, this is fun. Thanks
a lot. Absolutely.
I almost got a resolution.
You almost did,
huh? I have one. Yeah,
half
the
one?
TV
the
thing.
The TV thing.
You brought it up, so I'm going to try and mix that in with a little of what Tony and Manny said.
Hey, that's doable.
What Manny said.
Yeah. So listen, everyone, Happy New Year. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, 1 p.m., right here, only on 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York City. And once again, Julian is away, and we will be continuing regularly scheduled programming. And Kevin, thanks again for everything. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks.
And yeah, for anyone who's interested, you can drop us an email, positivemind@wbai.org, and you can follow us on iTunes. We have the podcast. It's available for free on the iTunes store. If you ever miss an episode, just go on the iTunes store, search for The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille, and you can subscribe and have all these episodes downloaded automatically for free onto your computer.
Wow.
So thanks again. Tune in tomorrow, same place, same time, 1 p.m. And have a wonderful and happy and healthy new year, my friends.
Be well.